Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Anne Gordon here with my friend and chavrutza Yordana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Shabbat, daf Tzadi Aleph, 91. Now, 91 is really the material on a new Mishnah, and of course, the new Mishnah is on the previous page, meaning 90 Amud Bet. So we're going to begin with that, and we're going to again see some familiarity in the general approach of this daf in terms of we're talking about things that if you carry them, what the amount is that you would have to carry to be chayav chatat. But in as much as we have that kind of model throughout, this kind of discussion, each of the cases is also different, or it would not be here.
Yeah, so I think it's important to read the Mishnah that begins this parak, which, as often happens, actually begins in the previous daf. And then I sort of want to read through the Gemara itself, and I think we'll just see a couple of discussions about purpose and intent that I think are really important to some of our understanding of Hotzah and as it's, carrying and its relationship to the Shiurim, which have to have a specific purpose. Hamatznia Lazarus, so somebody who stores a seed, right? We're talking about one seed. Ula dugma, ula refuah. So it either could be for sowing to plant it, okay, as a sample, or for medicinal purposes, okay? So there's three reasons here. It's either that you wanted to plant it as a sample, right? I guess to show off what your other seeds were going to look like, or for some type of medicine. And so if he carries that on Shabbos, he's chayav for any amount, meaning these are things that don't hold by the regular shiurim, as we discussed before with seeds, whether it was five, whether it was two for certain types of plants. Here's a case where it's one seed, but the one seed has a purpose, and it could be used for that singular purpose. So any amount you would be chayav for. And then it says that any other person, okay, meaning any other person who, let's say, pick, any other person would only be chayav for carrying out on Shabbat if he uses the actual shear. So in other words, let's say Anne has, this one seed, and she was going to use it for one of the three reasons, listed here. I somehow get that seed. And I decide, for some reason, I'm going to carry that one seed. But I didn't have that intention, right? That wasn't in my mind. I wouldn't be chayav because I'm not carrying the correct shear, right? Chazar v'hichniso, okay? Let's say it's brought back in, okay? With no intention to use it at all for that purpose. Eino chayav ela kishiro. Then that person who, let's say, then wants to carry the one seed. So let's say, Anne changed her mind and said, like, hey, I'm not going to use that one seed for any of those things. Okay. And then, carries that one seed, also would not be chayav. It goes back to the regular shear. So we get sort of introduced here to a concept, which is that somehow the intention also can impact what the shear is. And that we know that the basis of the shiurim, of the measures, of the amounts that were given in many of these Mishnayos, have to do with sort of what's the average minimum amount that shows purpose or intent to use that item or gives that item value. But here it's saying, okay, we could have the minimum amount, which is one seed, right? But if that shear doesn't mean something to the other person, that other person who carries it would not be chayav. And if initially that seed, one seed, meant something to you, and then somehow you changed your mind about it, you go back to the regular shear measurement. So I think that that's really, sort of interesting here. So now let's go through a couple of the pieces of the Gemara. Well, before I go to the Gemara, Anne, anything you want to add to that?
I'm going to raise a question which I think is going to become answered in the Gemara, but I want to just note that this question of you store it for one of these three purposes, right? So then always we can ask that question, is it dafka, meaning specifically these three purposes, these three motivations, these three reasons, or are they examples? And if you were to store it for any reason, but meaning you have a reason, it's not an accident that you stored it, would it then be fall under this category? Would it fall under the same thing of that would be the shear for carrying? So I say this as a methodological point, right? Meaning anytime we get an example of something, anytime we get an instance of something, the question can always be asked, is it dafka? Is it specifically this thing, or is it just an example and you could extrapolate from it to others?
Right, exactly. So let's see. There's a couple of different ways that this is sort of played with in the Gemara itself. All right. Lama li mitne hamatznia. So the Gemara starts off by saying, why does the Mishnah need to teach us somebody who stores a seed for a specific purpose and then carries it out? Litne hamotzi lazera uladugma lufra. Why doesn't it teach it as if he carried one seed to plant or for a sample or for medicine? Chayev b'kol shehu, right? He's chayev on any amount. What is it teaching us about the storage piece? What is the, why is it important to say that he stored the one seed and then he carried it? Amar Baye says the following. Hacha b'mayaskinan. Here, what are we dealing with? Okay, as kigon shehitzniu, all right? So we're dealing with a case where somebody stored it. So in other words, somebody stored the one seed with one of these specific purposes in mind. V'shachach lama hitznau. And then he forgot why he did it. So he finds the one seed, but he like can't remember why he bothered to store the one seed, right? So I have these kinds of things happen to me all the time, right? I save something. I don't remember why I saved this piece of paper. Usually it's paper with notes on it. Right? So he forgot why, and now he carries it out with no specific purpose. Magus, right? So he finds this one seed. He's like, I must have saved it for something, but I don't remember why I saved it. You know, but or sort of forgets that it was important, carries it out, right? Mahu detema. So what might you say? You might say, bitule batla me machshvato, right? Since his original intention was batal, right? Since he doesn't really remember, he's not conscious anymore of the reason why he stored it. So you would say he's not really chayav anymore. Kamash malan, this comes to teach us, kola osa al dat rishona hu osa. So I think this is an amazing thing that Abaye is saying, right? That what, that anyone performs an action, it's performed with the original intent in mind. So this is interesting because what it's saying is that if just because originally it had some sort of purpose, right? It had some sort of, you know, meaning, right? Then if he carries it, he still would be chayav. Okay. So I think that's a very, very interesting thing that Abaye is coming to tell us here. Now, the Gemara goes on and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Shmuel, okay, Mechayev, okay, Haya Rabbi Meir. So who, so now they want to go through a little bit who the author of this Mishnah was. And they say that this Mishnah was Rabbi Meir, okay? Af HaMotzi, right? Af HaMotzi Chita Achat, Lizria, right? Because he even said if you carried one single wheat seed, okay, that you for sowing on Shabbat, you know, this is, you know, so it's consistent with this Mishnah, right? That if you carry this one seed. Bishita, so the Gemara says it's obvious. Kol Shehu Tanan, right? The Mishnah says that it says that it's any amount. Now, part of what they're talking about here is that any Mishnah we have that doesn't have a name to it, we always say that that's actually a halacha of Rabbi Meir, right? So it's clear that, okay, so this obviously has to be Rabbi Meir's opinion because it's like a mish, it's a stam Mishnah. So what do we need Shmuel coming to tell us that this had to be talking about, that this had to be the opinion of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir? Okay, so it goes on and says, Mahu Detema, okay, you might think, okay, that what? Kol Shehu La'afuke Mi Grigo, I can never say this word correctly, Migro Garrett, right? That any amount, that when it says any amount is to exclude what? The standard amount for carrying, which is what? Which is this dried fig amount, okay? Uleolam ad eka kizayit, right? And that what you might think therefore is, okay, if we're just saying kol shehu, we're excluding the fig amount, which is sort of the dried fig, which is the standard amount, but you might actually think you still have to get to an olives, a kazayit worth of amount. Kamash malan, right? And it's coming to teach us otherwise, that even what? That even the seed, okay? That even the seed, that's what Shmuel is coming to teach us, that that's what, that's why this is so important, that even one seed, you know, could be, you know, is a problem. Matkifla Rav Yitzchak Bereda Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yehuda, really objects to this, right? He objects to this. Elame ata chashi b'hotza kol beito. So this is very interesting. He says, okay, so based on this approach that the shear is dependent on the intention of a person of like what that he wanted to carry the ad for and not any objective measures, what about a person, okay, here's the case, lehotzi kol beito, who decides that he's going to carry out his entire house. Okay? Hei chinami delo machayev ad demafik lekule. Is he then not chayev until he carries everything out in his house? So what he's trying to say is he's sort of turning around this idea of intention, right? Because what he's saying is that like, okay, so then am I only chayev if I carry out the amount that I intended to carry out, right? So if I say I'm going to carry out the entire contents of my house and I only carry out 2/3 of it, would that make me not chayev? Obviously, this is rhetorical because I didn't sort of fulfill what the intention is, okay? Hatam batla dato etzel kol adam. Right. So it's his intention is basically what we're saying is there, you know, this case of a person who plans to carry out his entire house. Right. His intention is irrelevant because by all, you know, by all, nobody really conducts themselves this way. Like this is sort of like a nonsensical case. But I think it brings up an important point about intention. Right. Because it's saying that it's the minimum in it's the minimum amount that gives value. That's the piece of intention. It's not intention in terms of I plan to carry out my whole house. Does that make sense? I'm not sure I explained that well.
I mean, I knew where you were going with it, so I understand it, but I think also it does make sense. I will add, right, that the goal, the thing that makes it usser, right, that makes the act prohibited is not the intent, right? Meaning the problem is carrying. The question is, if you have a minimal shear of how much wheat you can carry, right? How much grain you can carry. That's the basic minimal shear. Then if you have a use for it that will be an even smaller amount, it doesn't become permissible to carry the smaller amount. It becomes just as usser if your goal is to do that smaller amount thing, right?
Exactly.
So the idea then is you don't get to, like, the basic plan, the default is that up until a certain amount, a certain point, this has no value. That minimal amount, that's where it's going to kick in the isser,
right?
The prohibition.
But the maximum,
but then
but
if
a
you
maximum
have
amount doesn't exist, basically.
A maximum amount doesn't exist. And if you specifically you have a different purpose that includes that, like, that's not really an anything to consider type of zone of that amount, of that item, and you're using it in a smaller amount, well, then yeah, then you're going to be chayef. Like,
right.
You know, and that's where intent kicks in. Intent kicks in to say that you have a use for something that the rest of the world doesn't. But because you have a use, now it's prohibited for you to do that carrying because you're carrying, meaning you're carrying something of substance. Whereas for the next person over, the thing that is substantial for you is nothing.
Right.
Ke'ilu nothing.
Right. So now we're going to see a very interesting opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Right? The kol adam ein chayvin alav ela kishira, right? No, every other person, in other words, the other people are only chayav on these seeds for a shear. Because if they carry the one seed, even though someone set it aside with intention, with purpose, with meaning, either to plant the one seed or to use it as a sample or for medicine, the other person who carried it, that wasn't his intention. So they go back to the regular shear that was mentioned previously. Okay, and now the Gemara tells us something else interesting. Okay, matninin delo k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Ditanya, because it's taught in a Braisa. Klal amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right? There's a general principle that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had. Kol she'eno kasher lahatznia, ve'ein matzninan kamohu v'huchshar lazeh v'hitznuhu uba acher v'hotzi nitzchayev zeh b'machshvato. So this is his principle. Anything that's not fit to be stored and that people basically wouldn't typically store, okay? But for this person, it was deemed fit to be stored. So in other words, what we're saying is people wouldn't typically store a one seed, but this person felt that, I need to store this one seed. And then another person comes and carries the object out that was stored. That person, the second person, right? So I'll use names, right? And decides to, you know, store a seed, right? That she decides has some purpose, okay? I would never have stored the one seed, but I come and take that one seed and I carry it. I am chayav because of the thought of another person. B'machshavotos shel zeh. And that, I think, is another very interesting concept here. That it's not just one, that in other words, what this is saying is that another person can give an object intention even though that will not be the intention for the second person. Now, that's not what this Mishnah is saying, but they're showing that there was another Tana, right, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who had a totally different view of looking at it, and that he actually feels intention can be transferred from person to person. I thought this was a very interesting concept.
I do think it's interesting. I'm wondering if it's like, you know, like so-and-so would love this, right? You go, you're in a store and you say, oh, so-and-so would love this sweater, food item, book. It doesn't matter, right? Now you've thought of them. Now you're kind of connected to them in that way, right? So if I'm thinking about how you would, or how did, what was your example? That if you were thinking about how I would have a value for that item and the in the lesser amount that would not make you chayav otherwise, then suddenly you've imbued it with the meaning that I have for it, right? And therefore, you know, therefore it takes on that meaning, and therefore it becomes usur again to carry. I'm wondering if that would, if it still would take it on. Now I'm raising again a pure hypothetical. If there was no way for you to get it to me, right? Like right now, there's no way for you to get anything to me across the ocean, right? So you see something that you say, oh, Anne would use that in that lesser amount, but I can't get it, not ever Shabbos, right? So does it, is it still usher for you, even though there would be no use for me? Or does, meaning does the theoretical make it that usher? Or is it because there is actually the possibility of connecting to the person who would have a value of it?
That's a great question, and I don't know. That's a really interesting question, right? It seems from the Braisa that they somehow seem to be in the same space, but no, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's just like once it's stored, and you know, once it's given value, and even if it got transferred to different places, you know, and the original person who stored it wasn't there, it just, once it gets that value, it gets that value. Okay, and now the last thing I want to end with is just the next section of the Gemara, which brings in a statement of Rava. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. So Rava said in the name of Rav Nachman, Hotzi kegro geret la'achila v'nimlach ala lizriya. Oh, inami lizriya v'nimlach ala la'achila. Chayav. So he makes a statement, which is, let's say you have a case where somebody carries out a grogeret worth of seeds for eating, and then he decides, and he's like, no, I really want to use them for planting. So we know that that's actually fewer seeds, right? Or let's say he was going to carry them out for, you know, planting, and then he decides, you know what? I'm going to eat those seeds. So he didn't actually, right? So the eating one is a larger amount. So maybe we would say that he's not chayav in that case, right? So in the first case, we would say, you know, maybe if he carried less than, you know, the fig amount for eating, and then he decided, no, I'm going to do it for planting, right? You know, so then maybe he becomes chayav all of a sudden, or maybe he doesn't become chayav. In other words, there's a question here of like, can the shear switch, right? If the intention switches in the middle, that's really what they're asking here. So Peshitta, so the Gemara says on this statement, okay, it's, you know, it's obvious, right? Zil hacha icha shira, v'zil hacha icha shira, right? Go ahead and look at what the shear is for one action, right? For eating. Go look at what the shear is for the other action, right? For planting. Mahu detema, what's this coming to teach us? Binyan ikara v'hanacha b'chara machshavaha v'ha leka kamash malan. Right? What you might have thought is that a person has to complete the action by lifting it and placing it, right? Remember, this goes all the way back to Perek Aleph, to our first Perek, that the completion of Hotzah has to do with lifting the object and then placing the object. And so what here Rava is saying is that let's say in the midst of you lifted the object, but you haven't less placed the object and you switch the intention, you might think the shear actually switches. And what Rava is coming to tell you is, no, that is not the case. The shear can't switch, even though the malacha of Hotzah has not been completed yet. So again, I think this adds a whole other layer to what we're talking about. And again, goes along with what we've been saying, that caring is never just caring. So we've added layers here of intention, who sets the intention, can intention be transferred on to another person? And finally, where does intention fall through the actual malacha of Hotzah, which we know is actually a two-step process?
So I find it interesting that it's not just l'chumra, or not just l'kula, Right? His statement goes in both directions. Right?
Yes, correct.
Meaning, if you're planning on eating, but then you decide to plant, or you're planning on planting and then you decide to eat, either way, it follows the original intent, which means that it isn't about being machmir, more stringent, and it isn't about being makel, more lenient. It's about following the original intent, which isn't, it's like, it's as if it takes hold, right? And now it's got that, like, the name of that kind of caring or that plan for the seed itself.
Right, exactly. I think that's right. That's what's interesting too. It's not a question of like being machmer or mekel. It's really more just an understanding of like intention and how it relates to the actual malacha itself. So I know this was like very sort of, this feels like a tongue twister daf to me.
It's well said. Yes, I think that's right. Exactly
There's
what it is.
A lot of permutations here. So we'll let everybody stay and think about some of these things. And we're going to move on to more of this tomorrow. That's our dot for the day. Rank us, review us with all major podcasts. Thank you to Ravanit Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hot Food website. Let us know what you think about some of these issues about intention and who sets the intention and can intention be transferred onto another person on our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow's daf, go and learn. Thank you.